So.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, February 24th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Runnels.
Here.
Councilmember Dickens.
Here.
Councilmember Costello is absent tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Lubin.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Here as well. Just wanted to announce that the council has just adjourned from closed session. We have no report at this time. That will take us to item number three, which is the flag salute. This evening, Boy Scout Troop 489 is here to lead.
We pray. Father in heaven, we do thank and praise you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this city. Be with us, Lord, as you bless us, watch over us, watch especially our city employees, the fire department, the police department, all the city workers. Be with our council this evening. Bless their work. Help us, Lord, to make this a better place to live. We thank you, Lord, for your help, your blessing, and for your watch care this evening. In the name of, we pray in the name of which of our personal Lord and Savior, whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, gentlemen from Troop 489, before you get too far away, for those of you who've been here before, you know that if you do the flag salute, you get to tell us a little bit about what the troop has been doing and some of your activities. So would you like to do that for a minute or two? If you would come up here so we can get you on television. I know that's really going to make you happy. But.
We did a snow camp up at Mount Pinos, for those of you who are familiar with this, it's a mountain place, where we stay overnight, two nights, and we basically just test our abilities to what we can do, and we cook out all our food, we bring all our food with us and our supplies, and we just see how we can hold up.
At the meetings, every night, well, just about every night, we learn how to do things like knots and learn how to create fires that will last well out in like the snow, so that they won't die down in the snow.
And before the snow camp, we had gone to the car show, and then even before that, we went to the SS Hornet. And that was in San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay, great. Sounds like you're busy. Well, we want to thank you for being here and leading us in the flag salute. And we hope you'll come back and see us again. Okay, that takes us to item number five, special presentations. We have one this evening, and I will step down from the dais. Also asked Mike Lynn and Tom Corman and Vic Devins and Don to meet me at the podium. I have the pleasure this evening to present an honorary proclamation recognizing National Engineers Week, February 22nd through the 28th. Whereas the City of Arroyo Grande relies on an extensive system of infrastructure and related facilities for the safe and efficient daily activities of its citizens, and whereas engineers are highly trained professionals who utilize their scientific knowledge and technical skills in creative and innovative ways to fulfill the essential needs and specific interests of our society. And whereas these dedicated professionals readily face the major technological challenges of our time, from rebuilding towns devastated by natural disasters, cleaning up the environment, and assuring safe, clean, hereby proclaim February 22nd through 28th, 2004, as National Engineers Week in the City of Arroyo Grande. So, Donna, I will present this to you. And if you would like, anyone can say a word about perhaps some of the tremendous engineering feats that we have going on in the city.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. National Public Works Week was started in 1951 by the National Society of Professional Engineers. And Also, this year is being honored by a message from President Bush, which highlights the contributions of American engineers, including civil engineers. As you mentioned in the proclamation, Mr. Mayor, this week is about increasing public awareness of the technology and the role the civil engineers play in society. So events have been scheduled around the country to bring that awareness out in schoolrooms and in public works offices. And I'd like to invite the public to come down and visit us. We're right across the street at 208. And to visit Mike and Thomas and Victor and to possibly learn a little bit more about engineering. So this evening I'd like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the council for recognizing National Public Work, I mean National Engineers Week.
Thank you. Okay. Good. Thank you, Don. That will take us to item number six. Before we get into agenda review, I have once again, unfortunate to announce that this past week we lost yet another long-standing member of the community. Johnny Silva, who's a native of Arroyo Grande, passed away on February the 15th at the age of 86. Most of you perhaps out there know the Silva family. Johnny began here many moons ago farming out in the Wasna area with his brother, and then for 30 years worked for E.C. Loomis and Sons, and then retired. More recently, both Johnny and Annie, his wife of some 60 years, were the Grand Marshals in the Harvest Festival, and last year, Grand Marshals, honorary Grand Marshals, in Arroyo Grande's first ever Christmas parade. Johnny was also very active in the community with the St. Patrick's Church, Knights of Columbus, and also the South County Historical Society and senior citizens here in South County as well. And what can you say? The Silva family, and Johnny in particular, have contributed so much to this community, and he will be missed. And with that, I once again would like to adjourn this meeting in the honor and memory of Johnny Silva, if there's no objections on the part of the council. I assume not. With that, we will move to item six, agenda review. Move that all resolutions and ordinances presented tonight be read in title only, and all further readings be waived.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. It takes us to item number seven, which is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any will close community comments, and that will take us to item number eight, which is our consent agenda. This is a block of items that the council typically approves in one block, and if there are items on the agenda that any member of the council would like to pull for further review, discussion, or comment, now's an opportunity for you to do so, gentlemen. Any?
None
this evening? And I believe we have an ordinance in there, do we not, Tim? Okay, then that's on item number D, 8D. And would you read that?
Do my pleasure, Mr. Mayor. It's a simple one for a change.
Okay.
It's ordinance number 554, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending the contract between the city and the Board of Administration of the Public Employers Retirement System.
Okay, thank you very much. At this time, I would ask for a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8E.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Runnels?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That will take us to item 9, public hearings. We have one this evening, 9A, consideration of a 2004 final community development block grants projects.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. This is your second public hearing regarding the allocation of 2004 Community Development Block Grants. As you are aware, CDBG funds are used for local activities that benefit individuals and families with incomes below 80% of the county median, to aid in the prevention of slums and blight, or to address urgent public health needs. Since your last discussion of this item, the city's allocation has been reduced by approximately $2,500. Since this reduction automatically affects public services due to the 15% cap to these activities, staff has reduced each one equally. The remaining and the majority of the reduction was taken from the funds for city administration of the program. On February 18, 2004, the city and county staff held a workshop to elicit public comments regarding your initial allocation. Since no one attended, staff assumes that the public and the applicants are satisfied. Staff recommends that the council adopt the attached resolution allocating 2004 CDBG funds. That concludes my staff report. I can answer any questions, and thank you for hearing me.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or clarifications on the staff report? Councilmember Dickens?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Jim, at our last meeting, we had some public comment in regards to the 2003 CDBG grant and the fact that that has not, some of the monies have not yet been allocated from last year's funding cycle. Could you just give me an update as to where we're at with that?
Yeah, what we did, especially with the harvest bag, was in need of their money, and we went out and met with them. We got our act in order. Got the ball rolling so that their funds, the past funds, can be released. Kathy Mendoza, our new office staff, is helping and working diligently every day to get
in for the record.
Wanda McFarlane, and I'm the project director for Caring Callers. And I'm sorry at the delay of us being involved in this. And I have no explanation for that. But I did receive communications from you all that the reason that Caring Callers, which is under Lifespan Services Network, Inc., or foundation up there on your board, was not recommended for monies because it had never been given monies prior to now. And that was disturbing for me because we've been in service for 21 years now, and what our program is about is providing services to the seniors who are low-income, homebound, or frail elderly. This year we were cut 50% of our budget when AAA pulled out, when Lifespan Services closed their doors. And so we're asking other avenues of to find our money so we can service the people. 22% of our clients do reside in Aurora Grande in South County. And I just feel that if there's any monies anywhere in the budget, and I know it's tight for everyone, that some consideration might be given to Caring Callers to meet the needs of our elderly that are in our community and have been or are sometimes the ones that are overlooked because there isn't a real voice for them in times of need. Any questions?
Actually, I do. Did you mention when you began your comments that that you went under a different name?
Yes. Originally, it was Lifespan Services Network, Inc. It then changed to Lifespan Foundation. It has since changed to Senior Volunteer Services because we wanted to get away from the stigma of Lifespan Services. And RSVP and Caring Callers are both under that. Senior Volunteer Services, and are the only ones existing now left out of the Lifespan Foundation.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else would like to come forward?
Good evening. My name is Kayla Wilburn, and I'm here on behalf of the EOC Health Services Senior Health Screening, 40 Wonderful, and TAP programs, to thank you for your continued support of those programs in the Arroyo Grande community.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. Bernadette Bernardi, the Literacy Council for San Luis Obispo County, and I, too, would like to thank the City of Rio Grande and staff's recommendation for continuing support of the Literacy Council services in Rio Grande. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the audience, members of the audience, would like to come forward? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring this back for discussion. Councilmember Reynolds, why don't you kick this one off tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I think that the last meeting
reviewed the other applicants that did come before us that we have not decided to fund due to the fact that they're new to us this year. Part of my concern is that it's nice to hear from those folks up front, and this is our second public hearing on this particular item. And we need to have time to kind of review the different organizations. What I am hopeful to do, though, is next year encourage you to apply as we become more familiar with the services that are being provided in our area. I know that we try our best to try to allocate the funds, the limited funds that come before us, as judiciously as possible and as equitably as possible. So at this point, I know that the funds that are there, that we do have, I think we've presented those in an equitable manner, and I'm prepared to support staff's recommendation as presented.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, would support staff's recommendation. I think we spent a sufficient amount of time over the last couple of years and at the last meeting identifying the allocations. And so I'm satisfied, and I will support staff recommendation.
Thank you. Comments have been pretty much made to this effect, but we've always been reasonably successful in taking what has clearly been a shrinking block grant amount that's being meted out to cities statewide because of the budget situation. But I think staff's done a good job in the past of trying to be fair and equitable, and once again, as has been stated by my colleagues, get to us earlier, and that way we won't be confronted with an 11th hour anxiety here. And I think you'll find that there'll be a fair evaluation next time, and not that there wasn't this time, but we might be more inclusive if we know earlier in the process. With that, once again, we anticipated that we might get cut from the original anticipated amount. Jim, I think you did, whoever worked on this, I'm assuming it was you, did a good job of kind of paring down everyone in an equitable fashion. So I'm supportive of the matrix that we have on page 2. And with that, I will entertain a motion. There's no other discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I would move approval of a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande determining those projects to be funded with the City's allocation of Program Year 2004 Community Development Block Grant, CBDG funds.
Second.
We have a motion, and there is a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Reynolds?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That will take us to item 10A, consideration of City Hall Complex Needs Assessment, Feasibility Study, Site Alternatives, and Appropriation for Appraisal of City Property. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council. At the April 8th, 2000, to present a status report on the results thus far, and also to pursue direction from the City Council on 2 to 3 preferred alternatives for further analysis and actual preparation of conceptual drawings. In addition, staff is recommending the City Council appropriate $4,200 for the preparation of appraisals on the existing City Hall facilities or City Hall sites, properties, for us to utilize in assessing the financial feasibility of different options that are being under consideration. So at this time, I'd like to have Fred present to you his report, And then following his comments, I would like an opportunity, before we get into council discussion and public discussion, to make just a few more key points on my part regarding some of the operational objectives that staff have identified regarding the project.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, Fred.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. Mr. Adams, thank you so much for allowing us to come back and give you an interim report of where we stand at this point. As before I get into the actual presentation, as Steve pointed out, part of our discussion tonight will be some issues about financing and money and so forth. It's interesting to note that I have a copy from Carol Pruitt, dug into his archives and got a copy of a report prepared for the city by his Blue Ribbon Committee back in 1984-85. And it's interesting, and we have copies for those who'd like to look at it, is that the bulk of the report is centered around the financing of a city complex. Now, as you may all know, part of that process ended up in buying some property. So hopefully tonight we can bring this another step forward from 1985 and share with you where we've been in the last series of rounds of discussion, both with the public workshops and with a visit to the Planning Commission. So I'm going to try to make this work. Somebody said if you click this, it will move forward. There it goes. Okay, so we basically, just to reiterate, we did go through several identifications of attributes for site selection, and these have been shared through the course of the entire process. We've added a few things to them on occasions, but essentially they still center around the importance of making the City Hall complex accessible, high profile, and of course being in an area where it can be vital to the health of the community. So we went through and began to study a series of the 11 sites, and as a result of our visit to the Planning Commission in the last workshop, we've now cut that down to about 7 sites, and I'd like to just share those with you tonight. This is the first site. This is the existing City Hall complex on the south side of East Branch Street near the creek. And just a quick walk around for those who are perhaps not familiar with the site. And then we did actually 2 studies here. The first study is building a brand new complex. Basically, this is Branch Street, Mason Street, and essentially this study was, okay, let's remove all of the existing buildings, complete a new set of, and taking the cottage that's here and the older building here, which is basically the building department, and having those relocated elsewhere within the city, perhaps up on LaPointe Street on property that's owned behind the current Council Chambers building, and constructing a new building here to accommodate the needed square footage. And then again, we went through advantages and disadvantages of that action. And then we went on to site number 3. You'll note site number 2 has now been dropped off. Site number 3, again, we did 2 studies. Site number 3, just for reference, this is Branch Street, Mason. This is the current Council Chambers, and site 3 basically is this properties here. And again, just walking around the site. Whoops. And then we did a first study, which basically takes the existing Council Chambers building, takes that down, basically removes it, and creates a new 2- and 3-story building here. 3-story component is on this section, and I'll show you a cross section through this, or a longitudinal section through the entire site to show you how that would work, and then surface parking at the back, entering and exiting off LaPointe Street. And again, it has advantages and disadvantages. And then we did a second study, which basically would take the adjacent property between the existing City Hall and the deli over here and create a new driveway off of East Branch, which would come into a low parking deck under basically this back property, and then allowing a top deck to enter and exit off of LaPointe, which would give us parking spaces of 150-some spaces that both could be used for the building and the downtown parking for the village. This would give us a wider structure and a more feasible structure for office layouts by capturing the adjacent property. And here is a quick section. This is LaPointe. This is Branch. There's about a 34-foot differential between the two streets. So this is how one might be able to put a parking deck in here and a parking garage with the entry to the lower level off of Branch and the top level off of LaPointe. This is the blue hatched area is the current building that we're in tonight. And this outline is of a future two- and three-story building that could be accomplished on the site in the area defined. And again, we went through that process. We also then looked at site number four, which is basically on West Branch Street. This is Highway 101. This is Old Ranch Road. The Women's Center is here. And I'll just walk very briefly. Whoops, this thing's going way faster. There we go. So we did a couple of studies on this. One was taking this entire property and creating a new city hall here, creating some additional city hall buildings or civic buildings that could be built here. One of the possibilities of helping finance such a venture would be to take this little leg up here of the original property and allowing that to go to residential use. And then again, the Women's Center is here. Not going to get this to work right. There we go. And then we did another study, knowing that there's a group in the community that would like to do a nonprofit sports complex of a much larger size. We demonstrated how a 39,000 square foot footprint would fit on the site with a city hall, appropriate parking, but holding on to this little finger for a total of 185 new spaces created in here, and then coupled with existing parking at the Women's Center, both here, and down here, adjacent to West Branch Street. And then we looked at site number five, also known as the Luma site. This is East Branch. That's Crown Hill. Crown Terrace is here. LaPointe Terrace is here. The Loomis store is here. Maud's house is here. And then the adjacent property, LaPointe, and the beginning of Tally Ho over here. And I'll just walk slowly around here. I'm going to stop here at this slide. One of the things you'll see in a moment is how we might handle this current corner, which is right up off the screen, basically right there. This site demonstrates how one could put a city hall structure in a two-story building at the end of Branch Street, basically looking up Crown Hill, taking Crown Hill and having intersect a new extension of Crown Terrace, which would come out here, and actually you see there's a 52-foot long school bus making the turn off of Branch Street here rather than that kind of short little turn they currently make going up this direction, and then creating a forecourt in front of a new city hall, some garden area between here and the existing Loomis building, which then can be utilized in terms of a council chamber area and community room, holding on to Maud's house as an historical structure, retaining the existing office building that abuts the creek, Tally Ho Creek being this area, and then allowing the developer to look at issues of providing perhaps housing in this back half, and then also providing a retail or office building here that could be built in an initial stage in the private development of the remaining portion of the site, allowing the city sufficient time to do what they need to do in order to obtain this half of the street and also this property at the corner. And again, we looked at advantages and disadvantages of that site. And I'm going to try to get you to site number 7 if I can get this thing to work. There we go. Okay, site 7 is Traffic Way, Bridge Street, Nelson Street, and essentially is currently owned by the CMR Unified School District and this building here and this parking lot. But we also, in order to possibly make this scenario work, we need it in the downtown area. And then at a suggestion in our last public workshop, it was suggested that we look at a site somewhere to the west of Highway 101 between there and Halcyon Road. And so we looked at a site identified on East Grand, basically in this portion of the block by Cornwell, Pine, and Arena Street. And so this is just a walk up Grand Avenue looking at the various structures on that site. There we go. And so here's a layout of how that might work with 71 spaces around a two-story building facing Grand Street, Grand Avenue, and then Rena Street here. One of the reasons we looked at this particular block is the adjacency to the current Arroyo Grande Police Department, which abuts Halcyon and Rena Street. So there is some perhaps advantage of having that area close by. And then again, we did studies there. So we have some recommendations, but before I get to that, I'd like Steve perhaps to talk a little bit about the space needs analysis.
Thank you, Fred. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as Fred has indicated, he began this process with preparing a space needs analysis, which he worked closely with staff on to determine our operational space needs. However, other than that, staff has purposely not provided a lot of input into the process because we really want the policy decisions regarding design and site selection to be driven by the community and the city council. We very much want this to be a project that the community is supportive of, is excited about, and ultimately very proud of. However, at this time, we also feel it's important not to lose sight of the fact that the purpose of this facility is to enable city staff to provide city services to the public. And so while I want to emphasize staff does not want to advocate any specific alternatives, we have identified some general operational objectives that feel are important to accomplish, and hopefully the City Council will take into consideration in your criteria for identifying preferred alternatives. And so at this time, I'd like to make just a few key points related to those objectives. The first is improved communication and coordination. One of our objectives is to continue to be able to locate all our staff, excluding fire and police, parks and recreation, and public works crews, at one site as we are now. It doesn't necessarily have to be one building. We see some design advantages in having smaller structures. But it is also a second objective of ours is to try to be able to locate these staff in no more than two buildings. And it doesn't necessarily have to include the council chambers, although I do think that there are some advantages to that. But the reason we're proposing this is we've analyzed our operations, and as a result, we've categorized them, or these three operations currently reside in three different buildings. But we believe that we could significantly improve our level and quality of service if we could locate these three operations together in one shared space. And I want to clarify this because I mentioned this briefly at one of the workshops, and since then, a couple folks have mentioned that they don't mind, you know, going from one building to the next. But that's really not the issue here, although it would be very much more convenient for our customers if we had one shared public counter. But the real issue is communication. And, you know, I want to say that I feel our staff does a great job of working together and coordinating issues, but it's just not the same as working out of a shared space. We have instances that come up on a consistent basis where one department may be working on an issue involving a particular project or property and have no way of knowing that another department's working on an issue, another issue involving that same project or property that could benefit from coordinating those issues. We have instances where an applicant will come into a particular department with a problem or a question and could really benefit from having staff from the other departments available there to participate in working out that problem. And we do a lot of things to try to address those type of things, but it's just not the same as, I mean, the point is those problems could all be very easily addressed if we were just able to locate these people in the same area. And we all know how important development issues are in our community. And so we think with these changes, we could significantly improve our level of service, and ultimately it could result in even better development projects. So that's the first point. The second point is funding. We really won't get into this much until later in the process when we develop an implementation plan. But I do think it's important to start keeping it in mind as you review the alternatives, because unless we want to do a bond measure for this project, to make this project financially feasible is really going to probably require some type of creative funding alternative. And in looking at it, probably the two most likely options that may become available to you is either some type of joint development project or some strategy that involves the sale of some or all of the existing city properties. The third point I wanted to bring up is that if we're going to spend a significant amount of funding on a project, staff feels it's important to try to not address not only our existing needs but also future needs, so we're not in a similar situation like this in a few years. And it doesn't only refer to space needs, but also overall condition of the facilities. And so we think that's important. The next item is something I wanted to emphasize, and that is staff is very proud of maintaining what we believe is a very friendly and welcoming atmosphere in our operations. And we contribute a lot to that, to the quaintness of our facilities. And so any changes to those facilities, we want to make sure. So those are additional issues that and objectives that we've identified of what we'd like to accomplish out of this project. So once again, that completes my comments. And we're just hoping that you take those into consideration with the other needs that we're hoping to try to balance and come out with a project that hopefully everybody can get behind and be excited about and proud of in this community.
Steve, would you mind commenting on the second part of 10A, and that's the appropriation for the appraisal? Could you just sort of describe for at least the public the purpose for doing that at this time?
The appraisal, I mean, we've discussed a lot of alternatives, and I think there's a lot of alternatives out there, and nobody's focusing in on any specific one at this point. But feasibility and how we'd finance it is certainly an important issue. And so what's come up and up again in a number of these alternatives is if we were, you know, to sell one property or all the properties and move or particular properties, it would really be critical to us at this time to have some kind of information on what the value of the properties are. Once again, it doesn't relate to any specific alternative. They all seem to, you know, involve different variations that might benefit from selling, you know, specific parcels. We've also, in the request for the appraisal, we've gone beyond just a very basic appraisal, but we're asking him to appraise some of the properties based on combinations or options of whether the existing facility would be maintained and preserved, and if there would be a value of the use of that facility, or would there be less of a value because they want to do something else. And by that way, we can also get a handle if it gets down to the point where maybe we want to move out of a site, but there's a desire to preserve the buildings that are on there. I mean, maybe there's some options where that kind of data would come in helpful, too, to see what might be economically realistic you know, could we sell certain properties and require them to maintain the buildings? Would there be enough value after that to make these things worthwhile? So there's a lot of scenarios, but all that information out of an appraisal would allow us to do that analysis.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions, clarifications on the presentation of the staff report for either Fred or Steve? Councilmember Dickens.
Mr. Mayor, I just had one. In regards to the City Hall conceptual design and needs at this point, Steve, we're using this figure of 17,000 square feet. Would that 17,000 square feet include a facility, which is what we're in tonight? We're a public place, a place for council, so that would include all of that.
That includes it. If you take all these facilities, all the existing
city hall facilities in this complex, that would come to the 17,000 square feet.
Thank you.
Any other?
Yes,
Councilmember Ornes.
Steve, one thing that's come to mind is that if you left everything like it is today and retrofitted the buildings across the street or in.
Fred, I don't know what you want to touch
on
that a little bit.
If we use this building as an example, one of the things the council did this evening before they started the public session, you went into a closed session, as is the case, and you went upstairs. Well, if for some reason one of you was confined to a wheelchair, you would not have access to that meeting. Therefore, in theory, we violated your civil rights. So the law says basically we have to accommodate somebody to be able to go to that second floor. And it's not good enough that we could say, well, you can walk out of the building and go around the back and come through the top. That doesn't allow you equal status to other council people sitting on the council to go to the same meeting in the same fashion. So in theory, by not having an elevator or some way to get up to that second floor, we've not accommodated. In order to do that, we'd have to accommodate and find the physical space within the confines of this building to make that happen. Now, in this building, that might be a little bit easier to accomplish because we could carve out a corner or something. It's going to be much more difficult where every square inch in the buildings across the street are accounted for. So any accommodation for handicap accessibility, even at the front counter at the planning division, where now you can walk in, you can barely turn a wheelchair. I mean, there's just not, and so if you had two or three people waiting at the counter, we probably have a problem. Additionally, with all the restrooms over there. So in truth, to accommodate those buildings, if we just looked at handicap accessibility issues and nothing else, we don't have enough physical space in that building to do it. You'd have to add square footage to the building to get that accomplished or delete a function out of there. In other words, we'd have to move somebody out in order to get the room to accommodate. And even then, the configuration of the building is going to be difficult because it's not a nice, simple rectangle. It's a series of little ins and outs and very complicated spaces. Even more difficult in where Public Works is today because that was a residence at one point, and it really wasn't designed as a commercial building. So those factors would cause some significant cost factors, and without getting into a lot of detail, I could almost venture to say that it might be cheaper to build new buildings, even exactly the same square footage, than it would be to try to retrofit those.
Fred, isn't another issue and another good example the existing City Hall facility? If we were to add a second level on to that, doesn't it require quite a bit of work in upgrading the first level to current building code?
I would dare say that my knowledge of the history of that building, without getting an engineer over to look at it, is it was added on to and it never started life in the configuration we now see it today. So I would dare to venture that the foundation system probably isn't adequate enough to carry any kind of a second floor load. And so a substantial amount of money would have to be dealt with in terms of dealing with the foundations. The other thing that you want to think about is, given our recent episode just before Christmas in a sister city, I think that one wants to really think very carefully about the kind of money you would put into a civic building knowing that it probably does want to survive as much as possible. One of that groups is the Preserve the Village organization, which sent out their own questionnaire, where a lot of folks responded by saying, just leave things as they are, don't touch anything, it's just fine. However, we did also receive comments from people that watched the televised version of those workshops, and they came all across the board. Some said, look, get out of the village, build it somewhere else outside of downtown. Many said, keep it in the village, but weren't necessarily into exactly what the solution ought to be. But given all of that, the conversations we've had both with the developer at Site 5, the Loomis property, et cetera, we've kind of come to the realization that the majority of folks that have stepped to the table at this point with their opinions and concepts really do believe that the focus of our continued studies from this point forward ought to remain on the sites that are allocated with the village area, basically sites number one and site number three, number one being the buildings across Branch Street from here, and then site three being this building and its adjoining properties. However, as we went through the process, there was an empty site. We've now identified as site number six, which is basically immediately west of site number five on Branch Street, which is known, at least at this point, as the Scolari property. Certainly, we think there ought to be an opportunity to open at least a dialogue with those folks. And then there was, even at the Planning Commission, some interest before the door was completely shut on further analysis on site number seven, which is basically the UCMR School District property. But also since that workshop, there was some discussion about the possibility of the postal folks being involved in that, given their circumstances on Traffic Way. And then on Site 5, I did have a meeting with the developer's architect, went through some concept plans that they have placed with the city planning department at this point as an initial concept from where they were in the last set of proposals, where there could be a possibility of some kind of joint use between their development and the city, but it requires quite a bit of activity on both parties' part, and certainly that's one of those sites that Steve was referring to in terms of knowing how much financial wherewithal the city might have should they abandon or leave the current sites they occupy. And then, for all intents and purposes, we really didn't find in all of the workshops we've held since we last visited you any real strong interest to continue further development or analysis of sites number 4 and 11, basically site number 4 being the one out by Highway 101 on West Branch Street near the Women's Center, and site number 11, which is the block on Grand Avenue between 101 and Halcyon. So those are the things that we see at this point. We're enthusiastic and excited about moving to our next workshop on the 25th of March. But we hope with a little guidance from council tonight that that will allow us a little clearer direction and so that we can focus some additional energies.
I would like to come forward and comment on item 10A. This would be an opportunity for you to do so. Anyone? Okay. We'll close public comment, bring this back to council for discussion, and also, gentlemen, we have two items to address. The first, obviously, is providing direction on preferred site alternatives, and as was indicated, two or three alternatives are requested, and then the second is whether or not we should appropriate the $4,200 for an appraisal. So given that, Councilmember Dickens, why don't you start this off for us this evening, if you don't mind?
Not a problem. First of all, I want to just say that I think this process is very exciting and intriguing, and I appreciate Fred Sweeney's all the hard work that he's put into this and giving us such outstanding feedback in regards to what all the possibilities might be before us. personally, as I look through all of these sites, all of the study areas, and the conceptual ideas about what we could do, my first thoughts certainly gravitate towards effectively utilizing Site 1 and looking at further study in regards to what the possibilities are, whether we're doing something like Study 1 prefers or something like Study 2. I think that within Site 1, those are areas I believe that would be worthwhile to continue to look at. The feedback that I received throughout this process is that there's certainly a considerable amount of charm or respect in regards to having a city government that is within our village core. It seems like home. It seems very comforting, and I think that the public feels like it should remain within that general vicinity. And so I would say that we need to place some efforts into continuing to look at Site 1 as a potential. I'm intrigued by the idea that we can utilize that site maybe more effectively, taking this type of facility that we have here and maybe doing something across the street that could actually be used and for a variety of different community gatherings and public events other than just council meetings, planning commission meetings, and so forth. I know that this building gets used quite often during the week as well, but I think that there are certainly some interesting ideas that could happen on that particular site. So that would be probably my number one choice, and from the feedback that I've received, seems to be an area that we could benefit from additional study. In addition, I think that I do personally like some of the ideas that are being looked at on Site 5. I find that there are some other benefits that may come out of that. Mr. Sweeney has talked about that's kind of come to light down the in the recent times that we should actually look at that site. So I guess at this particular stage of the game, those would be my areas of focus. The ones that I don't really believe are, in my opinion, worthy of continued study. Let's see if I can get this straight. Too much paperwork here. This is great, though. I like some of the conceptual things that are going on Site 3, which is actually this site, but I'm not sure that I would prefer to have that as being where the new City Hall is. I think that there's some potential. I like the parking that is being created with the two-story kind of proposal. And I think that that could actually have some benefits in the village down the road. But as far as a site for City Hall, I don't see that as being something that I would support. It doesn't have the same presence as our current site across the street. Site 4, I would agree that it's too far outside the village. I don't think we're going to get a lot of support there. And I believe that there are other community needs that could be met with that particular five-acre parcel, more from a recreational standpoint other than City Hall. And I think it's too far outside the village. So I would go ahead and delete Site 4 at this particular time. And I think the Site 7, having worked out of that building for several years, I'm not so sure that that particular site has the potential to be renovated to the degree that we need it to be. I think Lucia Mars has had difficulties with that site in and of themselves. They might want to get rid of it, but I'm not sure that's going to benefit the city. So I'm not really interested in Site 7. and I believe the last one is Site 11. And I think that, again, that's too far outside the village. I think it presents some other problems, and I don't think that, from my perspective, that would warrant any further study. So the three areas that I identified, I think, would help as far as staff's direction. Those are the sites that I would look at. If I recall those again, Site 1, Site 5, and Site 6. In regards to the second request of staff this evening for the appropriation of $4,200 for an appraisal of this existing City Hall complex, I guess I'm a little hesitant at this particular stage of the game to move in that direction. I understand staff's recommendation. I understand that in order to look at some of these concepts, we are going to need to do some our budget situation in looking at this particular project in regards to allocating general fund dollars to look at appraisals. So I guess my position at this particular time is I would be reluctant. I think that we can do the appraisal down the road. I'd like to see further study on the three sites. I think we can do that without the appraisals, and we can look at the possibilities when we get a little bit closer. For instance, if we were to actually gravitate towards Site 1, which I think is a preferable site, we would really only need to do an appraisal on this particular property here, possibly, and we may not have to allocate these types of dollars if that were the direction. And we could actually look at what could be done here that would actually benefit the village, do the appraisal here, and then utilize those that cash flow then to do the capital improvements across the street. And we're not, I don't think we're there yet. So I would not be in favor at this point to recommend any allocations for an appraisal, but certainly I would be interested in looking at these particular sites moving forward, getting a clearer picture of what can be done, and then down the road, understanding that, yes, we may need to go the appraisal process once we have a clear idea of where and what that appraisal should be in what areas, and focus on those. So with that, Mr. Mayor, those are my comments and recommendations.
Clarification, Councilmember Dickens, with regard to Site 3, did you indicate that while you would not favor Site 3 perhaps as the main City Hall complex, you might look at some variation in terms of the expanded use of this facility?
I think
I understand you to say that?
What I'm suggesting is I believe the village is in dire need of increased parking. And I see that there is potential commercial use and parking that could come out of this. I don't necessarily see this as being the future site of the City Hall, but what I was suggesting is that I'm intrigued with what could happen with potential future commercial use on the frontage and then the additional parking in the back. Not necessarily for a city development, but maybe in the future for private development.
Thank you. Councilmember Reynolds.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I would agree with Councilmember Dickens that the preferred site, as far as I'm concerned, is across the street on number one. But one thing that I think that we need to realize that if we go in and start to retrofit these old buildings, as Mr. Sweeney related to, that there's some problems with the existing City Hall facility over there, because I believe originally part of that was a residence. And the way it's chopped up, I don't think you could put an extra story on top of it. But if that were to be removed or moved out and a new building placed on the back overlooking the creek, or on the front overlooking the street, and the parking put in the back to make it aesthetically fine, I don't have any problem with putting it there. I don't think that we need to go out and buy more property when we already have bought property on several occasions to do something like this. Why get a Briscoe intersection? But, you know, hopefully someday the freeway system is going to be improved. As far as the Presbyterian Church site, I got some thoughts about that, that it's been reworked by the school district a couple of times, and then it was reworked by another outfit once or twice, and I think you're just asking for a whole bunch of problems. So probably in the long run, we would be better off to go ahead and build a new facility on some of our existing property, preferably on site number one or site number four, and we would get away from a lot of problems. As far as the appraisal, I think it's going to be appropriate to have this property appraised and looked at so we can see how much it would cost if we wanted to go retrofit that existing building across the street versus starting over. So those are my recommendations and thoughts, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have similar thoughts and maybe some not so similar thoughts. Take them in order. I agree that site one is a potential due to the fact that we're already there and we control the property. I have mixed emotions on site four. It was originally purchased, or we were in an agreement with the county when we received that property, specifically for some type of governmental facility. However, I think the traffic problems are significant, and I'm not sure that until something is done on a permanent basis, I'm not sure that that's going to work. So I would say that's a least favored site. The two things that really interested me about this was, one was site five and the ability to maybe accomplish something that we've been fighting over for a couple of years, which is the preservation of the existing buildings and putting them to some proper use. I think there's a significant number of problems with that site in terms of traffic, additional people, preservation of the buildings. That would not be something that would be easily accomplished. But it's an intriguing thought to see if that there was a way to do that. And I have to tell you that Site 11, which is on your drop list, also intrigued me because I'm not sure that the City Hall needs to be left in the village. We need to preserve the village. We need to preserve the feel of the village. And maybe I'll say something that most people won't agree with, but Roy Grandy is growing. And as we continue to grow, we're going to continue to need more professional space for our staff. And if we can take the complex out of the village, it might provide a number of opportunities. The one thing I forgot to say at the beginning I want to say is that it was extremely pleasing to go through all the alternatives and all the sites and see that they're all workable in one way or another. And I think that's a definite benefit to Fred and the public hearings and the people that put the time into this. I'm not in favor of Site 7. I think that is just a disaster waiting to happen. I'm not in favor of Site 3. I don't think reworking this whole site where we are existing now will solve many of the problems. I think it will only create more. I think I covered the ones I like and don't like. I am in favor of the appraisal. And I think the reason that I'm in favor of that is because that gives us a working document, a working tool, to be able to look forward and see what are our options. We don't know today what this land is worth either here or across the street where the City Hall is. And if we look at numbers from recent projects, there's some significant dollars here available for potentially the construction of a new facility on another site. And so I think we have to not only look at the land that we own, but the value of that land and the ability for it to fund the proper facility that we need for the future. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the 17,000 square foot total area took into some consideration future growth, a little bit of future growth. I got that. Okay. So what that tells me then is that by the time this thing gets funded and built, we've used up that limited amount of future growth, and we're going to be looking for a larger building than potentially what the study is showing at this time. And so I think we have to take into consideration the realities of the sites as presented so that we can do the proper thing. And I think realistically, I think all of us know this is not going to be built next year. And so we have to look at a 10-year window as to what's really going to happen, what are growth patterns going to be, not only in the city but with the staff, and how much space we will, from a practical standpoint, really need. So maybe we need to rethink the 17,000 square feet at this point as we move forward. So, Mr. Mayor, having said all that, you have my preferences on the site, and I am in favor of moving forward with the appraisal.
Let me make sure I've captured this. You would be in favor of sites 1 and 11. Further examining those, you would not be in favor of 4, 7, and 3.
I would not be in favor of... 3, 4 is very iffy. 7 is definitely out. But 5, I think, has some opportunity. So I would want to make sure that the 5 is left in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. What did I say, 8:30? Forget it. And I... For one, would not support relocating our City Hall complex from roughly its current site. So what does that mean? It means if we go down the list of recommendations, my position is the first choice would be Site 1, and to further explore variations to include potential preliminary cost analysis of studies 1 and 2. My second observation deals with site 3, and that's the building that we're in. And I guess here's where I depart a bit from my colleagues. I think probably when we look at the growth factor, I would not be in favor of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And while I agree that this particular site perhaps is not suitable for the primary City Hall complex, I believe there is some potential from the design and reuse of this particular facility for perhaps joint use, commercial and city use. And what comes to mind is perhaps some additional meeting space, conference space, a city hall annex, if you will, which would take the meeting facility aspect of the main complex, which theoretically could be across the street, and move it to this location. That does a couple of things. It maintains communication within, as you indicated, Steve, among staff, because they are housed collectively. And while there could be some conference facilities over there, if we were to have a large-scale meeting involving staff and so on and so forth, we might use an upstairs variation if this building here were to be remodeled. I would not at least I would not want to consider giving up this building until we had a thorough economic study and we determined space allocations and whether or not we would have a need for part or all of this building. So I would not want to take this off of my radar screen, at least in terms of its constructive reuse. Along with that, I'm not so certain that I want to go forward as relates to Site 3 with studies 1 or 2 as they are described and have been initiated in thus far in this handout, which, by the way, is an excellent document, Fred. A lot of work went into this. So
But what I would like to see is some form of a study that might emerge that would focus on constructive reuse for perhaps an annex type of facility, again, for meeting space only. Moving to the other recommendations, provide further direction on Site 6. I guess if everyone feels, if a few folks feel strongly enough, I wouldn't mind a preliminary dialogue or perhaps some further dialogue stage. I would not oppose that. But I would not want to devote a tremendous amount of staff time to that issue. In terms of feasibility, and I think that's a very real issue here, is feasibility. And along with feasibility, we have to look at two primary factors, and that's property acquisition right away, count that as one, and circulation. And those are three biggies, if you want to count them as three. And that all begs the question of feasibility and how soon we could even hope to conceptualize, design, and move forward with something like this. As far as sites 4 and 11, I would concur with the recommendation. I have no desire to pursue site 4 or 11. On the issue of the appraisal, the $4,200, I can see the rationale for this. I would not be opposed to it, Steve, but I think it's premature. This is sort of a chicken and egg thing. If there are strong feelings on the part of the council as to the location, and we determine collectively that a location is preferable, and it appears right now that we seem to have consensus on site one, then I think the alternatives to site one in the form of study one and study two need to be worked, and to a degree that we have a better picture from a cost standpoint. What all that means in terms of the appraisal is that I would be in favor of it, but not yet. I think if we were to do that appraisal next week, by the time we advance these studies to a point where we could have some sense of what financing would be for that particular site, property values would have changed. Appraisals may have changed. So I think perhaps a bit more refinement is in need before we go forward with an appraisal, and I think staff would be in a position to kind of push the button on that one. I don't mind giving tentative approval for that to occur tonight at a point in time in the future when we have a better sense of just exactly what alternative we're going to push for and which one we're going to attempt to finance in some creative way. Then we can go out and get the appraisal. But I would think that the appraisal at this point, when we still haven't determined or we haven't advanced the study of our number one choice, is a little bit premature, simply because of the manner in which and the way in which property values are fluctuating up, I guess. So that would be my position on that. Okay. Well, our task this evening, gentlemen, is to look at preferred question right now. Fred, if, and I'll take some assistance from anyone, if we were to decide this by motion and we were to go with site one, take studies one and two to the next step. Okay, let's say that that's a done deal for now. If we were to acknowledge that we were going to take sites 5 and 6 to a preliminary dialogue level only at this point. How would that sit with council?
Well, it would appear to me that if we're going to move forward, we don't want to, well, let me start that again. I think what I heard staff or what I see staff asking for is a recommendation on 2 or 3 sites to move forward on to continue the public workshops and continue the thought process. If I hear you correct, if we make a motion on site 1 to really move forward on the studies of 1 or study 1 and study 2 from site 1 and then only preliminarily go forward with 5 and 6, then I think we're providing a strong direction. And I'm not sure we're at that point yet.
Well, I'm thinking that that's what you're asking for. Is that not correct, Steve? At this point, we're asking for some direction on which ones we want to pursue, even marginally, and which ones we do not. Is that what you're after?
Yeah, we're. Let me just make a few comments. I'll let Fred know. But I think we're looking for direction pretty specifically to come down to 2 to 3 exact alternatives that then Fred would take back, do additional analysis, but also begin to prepare actual conceptual drawings so we can come back and you can get a different feel for what the, you know, what these alternatives might look like when you show actual buildings on them. And then the recommendation for the appraisals was try to get some funding information so we could also start analyzing the feasibility of each of the three options. But, you know, you made some points, and there's probably some flexibility there. But Fred, did you want to add on?
I'd like to add, if the council desires us to do what you have just suggested on Site 5, there are a couple of issues there that are in motion at the moment. So first of all, you have a developer who has submitted a pre-application process with city planning, and essentially, if you look at the site, and I put the slide back up there, this 12,000 square foot commercial office building is actually off of the drawing I was able to look at with the developer's architect. Currently, they have, I believe, and Rob Strong is present in the audience this evening. He's met with them. I believe that footprint is now being shown at the corner of the current Crown Hill and Crown Terrace. Now, what we've suggested in at least a discussion with their architect, and certainly by no means is he representing any decision by his client, but suggested that perhaps they pull that footprint out from the corner. That would then allow Brand Street at this point, and then certainly from a public works and traffic engineering standpoint, queue space, left-hand turn maneuver, right-hand turn maneuver, deceleration lane, so forth. And so all of those things we have not had time to discuss. That would be certainly some of the top things we'd want to put on our list to bring back to you in exploring this alternative. And obviously the other one is, you know, just like we're looking at the buildings across the street, if in fact we were able to utilize the existing Loomis barn, you know, what are the implications economically from that? Would we be able to have the developer do the retrofit of the barn for possible or a portion of public use by either the city or other organizations? And then certainly the whole concept of moving traffic in and out of here would have to be looked at in conjunction with their plans of how they'd like to develop certainly the back half of this property. So there are a lot of questions on the table that do in fact need, if the council so's desire to get some of those basic questions answered, do in fact need to be carried out with the developer at this point. Their concern is expressed to me, at least in my initial meeting with them, is, as you're well aware, they've been trying for several years now to get this property developed, and like all folks that are in the development business, their time is money. So they're quite anxious to continue to move forward. They're probably not terribly interested to wait for the governmental process that normally has to occur in these things. And so, you know, those are all kinds of questions on the table. One of the things that I suggested is, well, folks, to buy some time, you know, perhaps the city could occupy their building this new building they'd like to build as an interim measure before we were able to fully carry out this kind of plan. But obviously that requires some discussion about economics, both on their side and on the city side. So it's a much more complicated dialogue in exploring this number five alternative, say, perhaps, than certainly number one or number three, where as you've pointed out, the city has control of the property.
One of the reasons this option came up, though, is there was also already some discussions at the Traffic Commission level regarding that intersection and how we can improve it, and even possible discussions of closing that off. So, this idea came up is maybe it's a way to address our property needs and maybe correct the traffic issue up there. But that's where it comes down to a key objective of ours in studying this any further. Have to be doing some type of traffic study and determining, is this something that's going to make traffic worse, or could it be something that would actually improve traffic and be a good thing for both City Hall and the traffic circulation in the area?
Let me ask the question of council at this time. Given the latest piece of information on Site 5, specifically the circulation issues, specifically the fact that we've got a junior high school up here, we've got a bus barn over here, and we have concerns here as well, and what Fred indicated about the submittal of a particular plan by the developer, which I suspect is in process right now. Is that correct, Rob?
And I think it's premature to just disregard Site 5 altogether, but at the same time, I do understand the complexities, and if we're going to be spending a lot of staff time and studying on this, and it becomes an issue with the property owner and moving his things, I mean, there it gets complicated. And then the other issue, of course, is then that wasn't brought up is if we move forward with this particular item, then what happens to the across the street? So it's very complex. Again, there are certainly some positives that could come out of all of that, and I think it's premature just to drop it. I'm much more interested in looking and exploring and putting more time and effort across the street, because I think ultimately that's something that's very, very doable. This is going to take a lot of ingenuity, and I think timing is critical. And we may not be ready for this, I think, in order to move this forward. But we don't know that at this point, so I'm not willing to let this go. But I don't want to also focus on this as being, the end of all end, and we're going to do this when we have some other really good alternatives, in my opinion. So I don't know if that helps, Mr. Mayor, but I think in order just to give this up at this particular stage of the game would be premature. I think it does warrant some additional research, and I think we have some possibilities to do some preliminary look, research, and some conceptual designs on what this would actually look like. I think once the community looks at this, it also changes dramatically the look of the village, and that's something that's going, once it gets into the public's hand and they see it there, that may be good and it may be bad. I think we need to dialogue on that.
If I could just write on that comment, one of the things that this does, a lot of the discussion we had in this whole process was making sure that the city the city building itself became an identifiable icon. And I'm not talking about a large monumental kind of thing, but an icon for the community, and established a point in the village, particularly when we begin to talk about the village in the context of the fabric of the village, that the city building establish a point of reference, that it has some architectural attribute that really does anchor. And part of the intrigue, the folks that are intrigued about this particular Site 5 was the fact that the building itself would anchor the end of Brand Street, and that the fabric that's created from this point forward, from basically this building that we're in today, as the street moves in development over the next several years up to the commercial market or JJ's market, obviously the Loomis site, the empty space between there and Tally Ho Creek, and then certainly down back on the other side, on the south side, how the fabric of the retail spaces begin to infill in the next 10 to 15, 20 years become very important once you anchor the end of the street with a building, as this study proposes. So I think that's why several people are kind of...
Because that's money. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that if we were to leave that in the hands of staff to make a determination as to when the new facts, new information arise, be it a traffic study or whatever, additional information surfaces that renders this site either feasible or not feasible. But I agree with Councilmember Dickens, and I think with Councilmember Reynolds, I'm not willing to devote a lot of staff time and effort into at least what appears now to be something that might be challenging for us to have it become viable. But I'm willing to take it to the next information level so that perhaps more of us are comfortable with the information picture and ultimately perhaps setting it aside or deprioritizing it. So would everyone be in favor of treating Site 5 in that way at this stage?
Well, Mr. Mayor, it's kind of an iffy situation because I have an opinion of that whole area down there as far as what we want to do and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I don't want to spend a lot of time and a lot of money on it. But in the sake of harmony, I guess that I could go along with this thing for a reasonable length of time, which would be 45 days or something like that.
Is that sufficient direction at this time for staff? Fred, figure out what we're trying to do here. Okay.
We should be moving fairly quickly because our next public workshop is March 25th, and I think the idea is to have a lot of these drawings at that time, as I recall. So.
All right. What is the will of the council in terms of Site 3? Is there any interest at all with pursuing Site 3 as a perhaps joint use, additional parking, advancing perhaps a modified study on Site 3?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, I'm looking at other alternatives. Tom, I think you were the only one in favor of pursuing Site 4.
Well, I still think that's a viable alternative when you look at the space needs and the future growth of the city, that I think we should give that some kind of consideration. But I know that I'm in the minority, and that's not going to happen. I'm going to hang on to my hat on that one.
Okay. Site 6. Again, Fred, could you cycle that back to your recommendations?
I get this. This little gizmo doesn't like to work, at least not in my hands.
In its capability, in terms of parking and... if we were going to go to a completely new site, I don't see that as being an ideal site, and so I don't see any real reason to pursue that.
Makes no difference to me.
Okay. Jim, you wanted to do that. I think I would side here with the Mayor Pro Tem. I see some real issues here in terms of feasibility, again, going back to the factors that I mentioned, property acquisition, some circulation issues, access issues. I don't think I would be in favor of pursuing Site 6. Let's see, what else? We had one person Mayor Pro Tem, you wanted to pursue Site 11.
I seem to be the lone Indian on that one.
I think you are. So I don't, I'm not seeing that happening. All right. So with all of that, we can do this by consensus, or would you prefer a motion?
I think at this point, consensus is fine. Seems like you honed it down pretty clearly. I was saying a motion earlier because I didn't have less of a confidence level, but okay. You've done an excellent job in, I think, getting it down to where we're comfortable with the.
All right.
If you want to run through those one more time for us, though.
Okay. From what I understand, and I'm sure my colleagues will correct me if I'm wrong, but we're going to take Site 1 as our number one priority, Studies 1 and 2, advancing both of them to a point of perhaps some conceptual drawings, some additional advantages, restraints, challenges, benefits, so on and so forth, and also perhaps begin some preliminary cost analysis at a point when it is appropriate to do so. And I just want to insert here, when we talk about we can handle this separately, but when we talk about an appraisal, I think it would be at that point in time, whenever it is, whether it's 45 days, 2 months, 6 months, whatever the case may be, then I would be in favor of doing the appraisal. Okay, so we're going to advance site number 5 to the next information level. As we described. And I believe that was it. Is that not correct? Okay. Let me confirm the appraisal issue just to make sure we are in agreement on that. Is there anyone who is opposed, any member of the council who is opposed to going ahead and approving the appraisal?
And then help us then decide on how that's going to be used and to move forward with potentially then funding some of these potential concepts.
Let me ask the question on this piece of it, Steve. Tim, how about if we do that on a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Then why don't we form that and structure that in a motion to approve and allow staff to determine an appropriate time for that appraisal to occur as we get closer to the factual financial information that surfaces through pursuing these alternatives. Okay, that's a motion.
I'll second.
All right. Is there any discussion? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Who's second?
Roll call.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Councilmember Runnels?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
All right. I think we're done with that one. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, gentlemen. That was a tremendous help. It'll help us focus at our next workshop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. We're not going to be here very long.
Okay. I think we can get through the rest of this in fairly short order. That takes us to item number 11, new business, consideration of funding request, San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, at the July 23rd, there we go, sorry, the July 23rd meeting, the City Council received a presentation on the San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund. and at that time voted to formally support the concept of the program and directed staff to work with representatives of the Housing Trust Fund on potential joint projects and funding. And at that time, they were expressing an interest in a significant amount of funding assistance from the city, which we did not believe was going to be feasible. Since that time, they've made substantial progress on their program, and they've now come forward with a much more modest request for assistance with their initial startup cost, which is $5,000. Their program will provide low-income loans to affordable housing projects, and therefore it will assist the city in our affordable housing objectives. And therefore, staff is recommending that the City Council approve $5,000 for the Housing Trust Fund, and which would be funded from the Affordable Housing in Lieu Fee Fund. And so at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Jerry Riau, did I pronounce that right? Who's the new Executive Director of the Housing Trust Fund, who would like to make a brief presentation to provide a status report of where they are at this point.
Thank you. $150 million of assistance for affordable housing into the market every year. And the money that they directly provide for housing is then leveraged 5 to 10 times with money from other sources. So it's a good model that's used nationwide. There are four characteristics to housing trust funds on a national basis. Their purpose is to provide funds for affordable housing. Housing trust funds are not developers. We're not providing housing directly, but we're generating funds and making those funds available for the private sector to produce housing, for the public sector to produce housing, working together with us. They're administered locally. They're a response to concerns about money coming from far away with strings that are not appropriate. They develop programs that are based on local needs and priorities, and they have dedicated revenue sources. That last item, the dedicated revenue sources, ends up being the most critical thing because it's the way to continue providing money for more housing on an annual basis. The San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. We have an independent board of directors. We have broad-based support from the community. We have over 200 endorsers who have signed endorsements for the corporation. Your council has endorsed us as well. We've received multiple funding sources so far, and we're starting to capitalize our loan fund. We incorporated almost exactly 1 year ago in February of 2003, and over the past year, we adopted a housing business plan, generated $300,000 in startup funds as of July of last year. As of today, we're at $365,000, and we've also received $50,000 in in-kind services, pro bono legal services, computer and technology services and equipment. We hired staff in October, received our tax-exempt status, opened an office in November, and in December, we reached a tentative agreement for a $1 million loan from Mission Community Bank. That's the beginning of our revolving loan fund. Our startup funds are divided among a number of sources. Half of our funding is coming from the County of San Luis Obispo, who essentially gave us a challenge that we'll fund one half of your cost for the first 2 years if you get others to fund the other half. Right now we have $85,000 left to fund the first 2 years of operation. After tonight, I hope that will be $80,000. And in a month, we expect it to be $75,000, and we have a number of other potential funding funds coming up in the near future. So we're very optimistic about the future. We're organized. This trick is a rough organization. Is a chart of the organization. It's managed and overseen by a board of directors. It's an independent board of directors. There's a steering committee that advises the board of directors, and essentially the steering committee is some of the organizers who've been involved over the last 5 to 10 years getting the corporation up and running, and they continue to advise the board. We are forming a Housing Trust Fund Commission, which will function as our loan committee, and it will develop the policies on board to help create us. She also provides assistance through the AIDS Support Network. Dr. Ellen Hale from Cal Poly is our secretary. Jana Nichols, the director of United Way, is our treasurer. And George Moylan, the director of the Housing Authority of the City of San Luis Obispo, is also on the board. And George is in the audience and might give us a comment or two if he feels like it.
But
The Housing Trust Fund Commission will be organized this year. It'll consist of representatives from participating jurisdictions. Those are cities in the county of San Luis Obispo who provide financial support to the Housing Trust Fund, and that's our way of including you in our partnership to make decisions on the use of funds. The Supportive Housing Consortium, which, again, was our founder, is also on the commission, and then we will have representatives from various other interest groups. Our loan fund will be structured in kind of an odd way. This is a representation. We expect to get funds from a lot of different sources, and many of those sources will have restrictions. So we'll have one central fund, but we'll be able to segregate each fund that has to be segregated. So if, for example, the city provides funds that need to be spent within the city or the redevelopment area, we could create special funds for that money so that it could be administered in compliance with the requirements for those funds. So we anticipate having a number of sub-funds within the large fund. We'll have dedicated sources, which are ongoing revenues, and then we expect to have a number of one-time revenues, loans and grants from various sources. For 2004, we have an ambitious set of goals. The commission will be up and running fully. We'll have our loan policies and procedures in place. We hope to have 5 participating jurisdictions. That would be the County of San Luis Obispo, the City of San Luis Obispo, your city, and 2 other cities. We hope to have $2 million by the end of the year and to make 1 loan by the end of the year. The most important thing, however, for next year will be building partnerships for this year. We want to build partnerships with communities like yours, with the development industry, finance, banking, and the various interest groups within the county. I really thank you for the opportunity to provide this presentation and to meet with you. If you have any questions, I'm sure that our board members, and I also meant to mention that John Dunn is a consultant working with us. He joined at the same time I did in October, and we're available to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions, clarifications on the staff report or on the presentation?
I had a couple of questions, if I might.
Okay.
The loan fund, you have a $1 million, and I'll paraphrase here, $1 million equity-like loan dedication from Mission Community Bank. Would I be correct in assuming then that will be funded as the loans are requested and funded, and they will take a position in the real property?
Okay. What the arrangement that we've made is that it's going to operate like a line of credit, where we draw down money from the loan as we fund our loans. Then we will assign our interest in the loans to the bank as collateral for the money they've advanced. So it'll become collateralized.
Okay. And so that this is not a guarantee by the housing fund. It's more actually a participation in the actual funding with transfer of your interest to Mission Community. So the housing fund, loan fund, would take any losses that private investors?
Private investors.
Okay. The last question I have, the County of San Luis Obispo, that I'm a little hazy on their commitment. It's a commitment of $225,000. What happens if you raise only half of the other portion of it? Do you not get the half of the 225?
The arrangement is that we can draw down the county's money as we get dollars committed from other sources. We currently have a commitment for about two-thirds of that amount already.
Okay. And for whatever reason, if you didn't raise the rest of it, then you just would not get that at a third from the
Correct.
County.
Correct. And we have approximately 1.5 years to collect the balance.
Okay. Yeah, to continue, if I might, Mr. Mayor, the commitment that you're asking at this point, the $5,000 for operating costs, startup and operating costs, is for this year.
Yes.
So I can assume that you would be back next year.
Probably.
Asking for more money. Or an ongoing commitment of some kind.
What we will do over this current year is work on the partnership, and we hope we'll be able to demonstrate that the $5,000 investment was a good investment. We'll look toward next year and the kinds of services that we can provide, and we'll work out a request that would be appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Good. Any other questions? Okay. Again, this is not a public hearing. But if there are any other members of the audience that would like to come forward, comment on 11A? Seeing none, close that. Bring this back. Councilmember Reynolds, why don't you start this?
I have no problem with it, Mr. Mayor, and I think this is a worthwhile project that's going to be undertaken by everyone in the county, and we've verbally committed to do this several months ago, and I think this is a good use of our affordable housing in lieu fees, and so I'm in favor of giving them the money and letting them move forward with it and see if they can make it work.
Thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I have a question for staff in regards to listening to what the possibilities are and reading the staff report and looking at how the Housing Trust Fund is going to operate. How is that different in what they're going to be, the services that they're going to be providing in relations to the disposition agreement that we entered into with Larry Persons in the particular senior housing development in regards to that, the loans that they were actually going after? And I guess my the bottom line for my question is, could Larry Persons have accessed the Housing Trust Fund for his purposes if it had been set up?
Yes. It probably won't, given the point in time that particular project is at now, and it might be dealt with differently since a lot of their loans are going through the bonding process that is offered with the 4% tax credit program. So I'm not sure if the two programs, things hopefully that our consultants are, we currently depend on.
And I may be taking a little bit of a bold step here, but my questioning is as I read this, is that it's my understanding that the Housing Trust Fund and the way that they could create their funding accounting, for instance, if we were to take a larger chunk of change and give it to this purpose for the city of Arroyo Grande, would not we, under our discretion, under the as you said, many of the jurisdictions that may be providing dollars into this particular fund, then may have strings attached in a sense and would wanting certain things out of that. The dollars that we have currently within our affordable housing in lieu fees would appear to me to be designated for the same purpose that the Housing Trust Fund is also trying to designate. The only difference is that they're on a county level as opposed to we're on a city level. And again, this is my bold statement. What would be the downfall of providing the Housing Trust Fund a larger chunk of change out of the affordable housing in lieu fee with the restrictions that would basically meet our needs anyways? I'm not putting a dollar amount on that, but I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, let me tell you what our strategy is and see if that's consistent with that. And maybe Jerry can feel free to come up and maybe that's not the best way to work it. Currently, their programs really set up, as I understand it, to focus on these low-interest loans. And there's other, you know, types of direct assistance we need to provide to make some of these projects financially feasible. Our approach at this point is they've requested some money that's strictly for upfront startup costs, mainly administrative costs. When we get into this, we've had a long discussion, and I think the approach is going to be when we have a project come up, and we've even talked about a few potential projects already, is when a project comes up, we get together and sit down, go over our objectives, and see what they can bring to the table and we can bring to the table, and maybe we can provide some funding that they can take and turn around and leverage that and bring back more money. I'm not sure. There's it gets kind of complex where all the different pots of money come from, but that's kind of our vision at this point of how that might work. Do you want to add to that? Yeah.
Actually, many housing trust funds have in lieu fees or linkage fees deposited directly into their accounts and administer them. But in talking with the city manager, we wanted to start a little more slowly, create more trust and a working relationship before we tried to ask for all of your money. If after a year or two, if your council and staff recommend that that you contract with us to administer the funds, that's clearly something that we would like to do.
I guess part of it comes down to control. I mean, currently their program serves countywide, and we want to focus on projects in our jurisdiction. So, you know, we're
a member of the San Luis Obispo Housing Trust Fund since its conception, and I believe that it's truly the way that we can provide for tangible, affordable housing within our county. And I believe that the efforts that are being done are exactly what we need to do. The only thing that I would just, from my perspective, and I realize that, for instance, you know, we have, let's say, $500,000 in our affordable housing in lieu fee fund right now, part of which could, yes, be used for potential low interest loans, but we also have the flexibility. We may actually utilize that to purchase property and other things that the housing trust fund is probably not interested in doing at this particular time. It's my understanding. So it's in our best interest to certainly maintain control over that. My thought was just that if we could actually leverage 5 to 10 times as much through a loan program, then I see some huge benefits for us to then also participate, not necessarily doing it tonight, but in the future, and it sounds like that's the partnership that we're building, and I would encourage that to take place. But I also I would like to, in the future, maybe visit those particular ideas, because I believe that providing low-interest loans will be a tool that we're going to need, and we're going to need to leverage more than what we have, and so thus the partnership builds. With that said, I'm in full support of the recommendation this evening for $5,000. I think it's a worthy cause. I think that our in lieu fees are designated within our own budget for this particular purpose, and I think that we're going to see more possibilities down the road to actually then see tangible, affordable housing exist here in the city of Arroyo Grande because of this effort. So without Mr. Mayor, those are my comments and recommendations.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support the concept. I had questions about the $5,000 from the in-lieu fee. And I will support it, but my questions were more in the frame of the in-lieu fees were set aside for housing, not for costs and expenses of a staff to get going. And so I had some questions of our staff about that, and I was somewhat convinced to leave it alone and just move forward. So I'm going to leave it alone. But I wanted to make that point that I do not want to see us on a continuous basis pumping money into cost coverage or expense coverage for a countywide organization. Having said that, Councilmember Dickens brought up the point that I wanted to bring up as well, which was the use of our in lieu fees. We've established those over the years, and we tend to bicker about whether we're going to take fees or units and those type of things. And there are times when we do take the fees, and it would be great to have the ability to put them into, and I know at some point there's going to be a loss, and how that loss is going to work. That's just the nature of the beast. It just works that way. And so, as well as the restrictions on the housing, the deed restrictions, et cetera, we are pretty specific up here when we do it, and I would want to make sure that the Housing Trust Fund is doing the same thing. Yeah. So those are really my only comments. I support the concept, as I did the last time we talked about it, and I've been convinced to give you $5,000 for this year. So I will support the process. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't mean to treat this too simplistically, but I think we need to come back to a comment that you made a second ago, and that is that our goal here is to figure out a way to put affordable housing on the ground. And in doing that, some months back, or last year sometime, this council bought off on the concept of supporting the San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund. We did so with the idea in mind of using the trust fund as an addition to our toolkit, if you will, to facilitate the increase of affordable housing stock. Another tool that we have in our kit is, in fact, our Housing in Lieu Fee Fund. I don't have any issue at all with nurturing both of those as viable tools to help us achieve our ultimate goal. I think they work hand in hand, and I think this is a good use of affordable housing in lieu fee money, is to support and nurture the Housing Trust Fund to a level that demonstrates good faith vesting in the idea. It ensures that we have a seat at the table on the commission, is it? And but we have to also recognize that at least now, at this point in time, it is a county housing trust fund, which means our priorities as a city and their priorities as a trust fund, considering jurisdictions and interests countywide, may not be the same. Priorities may not be the same. But again, if we are vested in the process, if we have a seat at the table, then we are considered, I believe, based on the merits of whatever proposal we're using and the available money at the time. So it remains as a viable tool. And I have no problem at all with annual support to the level that is reasonable to maintain that level of vesting. So I see our Affordable Housing in Lieu Fee Fund and the Housing Trust Fund working hand in hand. One is more personalized. One, we can have some assurances at least, focuses on our priorities as a city. The other perhaps brings to bear some greater financial capability. But again, we have a mix of priorities that we're going to have to somehow facilitate with our participation. So again, this is sort of rehashing what we have already agreed to some months back, and that is to invest in the concept. Item number 12, which is City Council reports. I'll go first. The San Luis Obispo County Government SLOCOG has not met since Councilmember Dickens, who attended the last one, gave his report. The SLOCOG meeting for March has been canceled, so SLOCOG will not meet again until April. South County SAN, Councilmember Dickens is going to give that report, hopefully. Integrated Waste Management has not met since the last time I gave my report. The Executive Committee meeting is tomorrow, which I will attend, and we will approve the schedule for the next board meeting, which I believe is coming up middle of March. That concludes my report. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have several reports tonight. For some reason, they all kind of piled up. The South County Area Transit met, and you should have in front of you, or at least for your future reading if you choose to, the short-range transit plan that was presented to us, which was very good. Did a lot of study and surveys and recommendations. The board accepted the recommendations from the consultant and will be moving forward with those. There was a lot of discussion concerning the number of buses that we operate, concerning the size of our city population as compared to some of the other local jurisdictions or other cities equal size. I don't remember which city it was, but we're the area that we represent is about 47,000 population in the South County, and we're operating four units, four vehicles. And there was another city that's about 47,000, and they're operating 11 vehicles. So there was a big discrepancy in that, and they tried to explain it to me on the basis that they're a more consolidated population, more dense population, and therefore they had to run more bus routes to handle the same population where we're farther spread out. But I didn't really catch that logic. So I have to say that there were some issues there. We're also looking, one of the recommendations was for us to look strongly at picking up the Avila trolley. There are studies being done on that, further discussions being done on that, and we'll be talking about that at our next meeting. I will be retaining the position of chairman of the SCAT board for the remainder of this year. We just had elections again. The EVC, Economic Vitality Corporation, met last month. In fact, we're having this month's meeting tomorrow, but to bring you up to date on last month. The interesting thing that came out of that was a presentation by Star Scope Management, which is a management group that is interested in bringing to the county a PGA Tour event. Actually would be the nationwide tour, which is like the minor leagues for the PGA Tour at San Luis Country. Annual financial statement. I believe you have copies of that as well. If there's any questions, call Steve. Yeah, I glanced through it. It looked like they were financially sound, and it looked fine to me. The what am I leaving out? There seemed to be one more. Maybe that's it.
We can always come back.
Yes, I think that's it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Reynolds.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, the Zone 3 Advisory Committee didn't meet as a whole committee this month, but we had a technical committee meeting, and the discussion centered around the conservation habitat report on the creek that's part of the mitigation measures with the dam, and that had quite a lengthy discussion and the amount of surplus water and how much is going to be released down the creek for fish and agriculture purposes and municipal purposes. Then it switched the venue a little bit to the water treatment plant, and the preparations for the value engineering study is moving forward as scheduled. And I believe the meeting was this last week, but I'm not sure about that. But we're getting closer and closer all the time, and all these projects just barely inch along. Yesterday, I became involved in the Zone 1A committee, which oversees or is trying to find some way to fund the creek project down at the lower end of the valley. And Zone 3 was represented or requested by Supervisor Cacho to have a couple of representatives there. And so Jim Gearing and I are the representatives from the Zone 3 board, and those folks are looking for about $350,000 to study how they're going to clean out the creek. And so they have about half of that secured from different government agencies and whatnot. And so they're looking for other sources of revenue. And at this point in time, it's since the state's involved in the creek process now, it's going to be a long, slow process, I believe. But they're working on it, and they're writing a lot of letters and contacting a lot of people. You may have seen in the paper that the judge made a certain amount of progress on the Santa Maria water suit. It looks like the overlying landowners have prevailed at this point in time, and all the purveyors had better start looking for some more water somewhere. But again, as the article said in the paper, and I haven't talked to Mr. Weinstock, is that the judge is also going to possibly ask the state DWR to look and see how much surplus water can be extracted from the basin without having an overdraft. So that is that. We're getting closer on that one, hopefully. The County Water Resources Committee meeting, I didn't make that meeting last week.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Mr. Mayor, the South County Youth Coalition meeting is actually this Thursday, so I will have a report on that particular meeting next month. In regards to the South, primarily on our fixed film reactor and our precast panels, we've had some problems with our primary digester in the dome exterior and some of the cracking, and there's some concern there. We won't know until we open that up. Some of the maintenance buildings needed some minor repair work, and the final clarifier and mitigating some of the problems with the panels that actually fell off and fell to the bottom, where we had to bring in some divers to go in and fix those. Other than that, I think they made some recommendations how to address those issues. We are working directly with, Wallace and Associates is working in regards to the FEMA and getting reimbursement through that disaster relief. And lastly, I just wanted to point out that we as a board did approve the keeping the emergency standby pump operations. We actually, due to the December rains and due to the earthquake, we brought in a fairly large pump actually out of Sacramento. And our feel is that due to the uncertainty of the creek levee in that area and the concerns of the rainy season and potential breach, that it would be, at least from a risk management standpoint, to maintain that particular emergency standby pumping a pump there on site at least through March. And that pump would actually act as it would divert any affluent, or actually if the actual pumps went down, it would actually divert the affluent, keep the system running in case of an emergency. And we felt it was prudent to do so with all of the concerns about potential flooding and the Arroyo Grande flood control channel. And then lastly, I guess, is that I just wanted to present to staff, we received the 2003 annual operations summary, and I just wanted to present this to staff so that it was available to them and the public for any review. It goes through all the discharge and all the standards that we're meeting on an annual basis. So with that concludes my reports.
Thank you. Where did those divers go again? Never mind.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
Okay, that takes us to, Councilmember Costello will catch up, I think, perhaps the next time we give council reports on APCD. Takes us to item 13, city council member items. There are none. Item 14, city manager items. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We just recently received, or I recently received, a letter from the interim fire chief in Grover Beach. I think I submitted a copy to everybody. And it was requesting consent. They are preparing a study to determine different opportunities to improve their overall level of service in their fire services. And among the options they're looking at could include some type of partnerships with the city of Aurora Grandy on particular types of functions such as training and others, or it could also include partnerships involving all the way up. Frankly, had a lot of advantages to it, and they were responded very favorably to it, but the CDF proposal offered even more advantages, and so they went with CDF. But it was still a worthwhile process to go through. And I think this is all consistent with the joint workshop the councils had some 3 years ago, where the direction was to continue to work with the different agencies and try to identify areas where we can work together to provide better coordinated services. So I've discussed this with the fire department staff, and they're excited about it. They think it would be good to take a look at it. We don't know what would come out of the study, so we're not committing to actually advocating anything, but we do think it would be worthwhile to see the results and see what might be involved and see if there's some both service level and potential financial savings to our agency. So before I responded to him, I just wanted to brief the council on it and find out if there were any significant concerns, but we would recommend going ahead and working with him.
Okay, as I understand it, Steve, you're asking some feedback from us on this?
Yes.
To the limit that we're able to, since this is not an agenda item.
Well, no, I put it on city manager items, so that allows, we can't take action, but I can get some, it does allow for discussion and feedback.
Any comments, feedback for Steve on this?
No, I'm going to be quiet.
Go ahead and see what happens.
I don't have an issue with it. I guess for the sake of study, if there's something new that can come out of the discussions that we had was a few years back. And once again, as I recall, that was not limited to Pismo Beach. We had fire chiefs there from Grover, from Pismo, from Arroyo, and from Oceano Community Services District. And we talked about issues such as training. We talked about some potential for consolidation. We certainly talked about joint training, which I understand is underway and continues as we speak. So I guess I'm scratching my head a little bit in terms of where this study would go that the other one didn't. But I'm willing to see what Doug comes up with. He comes highly recommended. And so if our fire chief and staff are okay with it, then, we'll see what happens.
Thank you.
Okay. That takes us to item 15, council communication. I have... does anyone else have council communication?
Can I ask for information under council communication? I would like an update at the next meeting on the senior project, Larry Persons project. Thank you.
Okay, did you want that on the agenda as an information item?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
If that's feasible.
And any others under council communication? Okay. Steve reminded me that we were due to meet with our sphere of influence property owners, which we did last Friday. Staff arranged a meeting with both the format that we use for Grand Avenue. And I believe the first date is March 13th. We're going to be 30th. We're going to be advertising those. And correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but I believe the second date, morning and evening, was April the 7th.
April 21st.
I'm sorry, 21st. Something's going on the 7th. Anyway, it's going to be advertised. And right now, tentatively, we have the Women's Center scheduled for use. And they are all on board with the way that we're going to move forward with it. Councilmember Costello offered to help me facilitate that as opposed to going to the outside. And it was actually suggested by the property owners that we do it in-house. So that's an update on it. And more information to follow. And certainly, if you can calendar those two workshops, those two dates, I think it'll be structured in such a way that hopefully everyone on the council can be there and participate, and that would be a good thing. Staff communications?
None, sir.
Okay. That'll take us to item 17, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to come forward, make a comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I had a couple of observations, comments regarding the City Hall situation. I think that at the Planning Commission meeting, there was interest shown by local downtown businessmen that they'd like to see some more retail space. It's very limited, and the possibility of building more is pretty limited. I thought that maybe one of the things that could be done with Site 3, which is this site here, is could retain ownership. The city could retain ownership. The front area fronting on the street here could be turned into retail space. Potentially, back area could be added on to or built more. I really like the idea of the parking lot. I think that the parking lot would help facilitate parking downtown here for a lot of things, especially things like the Harvest Festival and the Strawberry Festival. Possibly using this site as retail space would allow income that would pay for or reimburse monies used to remodel a building out of from other funds, not necessarily a loan, commercial loan, that kind of thing. I just think that one of the things that my family has always taught me is that once you got the land, it's not a good thing to give it up, if you can find a way to make it work for you. As far as the Crown Hill, I just don't think that Lucy Amar is ever going to let you do that up there. Even if you open people who got up and spoke, that the original position over here with is the way to go. I think that it obviously needs to be expanded. If they built on the back here, you could allow access only from the back. That would allow ADA to be happen in the new structure, and maybe be offices that could be used while the structure across the street was being remodeled. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Anyone else? Okay. That will close community comments and suggestions. That will take us to item number 18. And I would like to make a motion at this time that we adjourn this council meeting of February 24th in honor and memory of Johnny Silva. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. This meeting is adjourned.